absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on a crisp Sunday morning. It's great day for football. Got a great show in store for you tonight. The number today, I should say, the number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master. We also have a chat room. The chat room is open for your convenience. Lay whatever knowledge you want to do into the chat room. Make a comment, statement. It's all for you, and that's how we do. Anyway, we're going to be talking about football today, but you know one thing I want to say? One thing I got to talk about. I talked about it on Thursday. I talked about it a little on Saturday, and I got to talk about it again because I didn't find out about this until after the show program on Saturday. I'm talking about the Grambling State football program. As you know, if you listen to the Thursday show or you listen to some of the Saturday show, that there's been huge problems with the head coach, the players, and the administration in Grambling State, a storied black college and a long history of sending football players to the NFL, and also had a Hall of Fame coach in Eddie Robinson. Well, I think that this program has fallen on hard times. Now, yesterday, Grambling State was supposed to play Jackson State, and Jackson State had a was supposed to have their homecoming. Well, that game was canceled because the players refused to play the game because all the things that were going on. I looked at one site and I saw that they were complaining about mold and mildew in the locker room, mold and mildew on their equipment that they wear every day in practice. I actually saw it online that one of the shoulder pads they had mold on it. So this is I would say epic proportions, but this is crazy, absolute crazy. The administration has denied any players from contacting the media. So the media has not been able to talk to the players at all. I think the players sent a letter to the administration, and God knows what else. But this is way out of hand. Just stay tuned or just be in tune and look for more information about this because this is not going to go away anytime soon. The players have been dealing with deplorable conditions for quite a while. And to top this off, because the administration hadn't been responding to demands to upgrade their equipment, upgrade the floor in the gym, which is dilapidated, for lack of a better term, Doug Williams, for one, before he left, was able to do a fundraiser to gather funds to fix the floor in the gym. And the administration the administration said you can't take the money to fix the floor in the gym. That money belongs to the school, so give us the money and we'll do it as we please. So as you know, well, I should say as you know, well, the floor never got, the floor was fixed. It wasn't fixed, let me put it that way. Another portion of the athletic department floor was fixed, but not with with the funds that was raised. So the players, this whole organization, this whole thing about the players and the athletics department, especially the football program, is really in disarray. I don't know if the administration is trying to torpedo the football program to defund it or change it, but it sounds like they're more or less putting this football program to the wayside and not really caring about it and just willing to let it go. This is historically it's a historic black college with a long storied career, especially like I said, in the football program. It produced one of the let me put it this way. It produced the first black quarterback to win the Super Bowl, which was Doug Williams, okay? And it's also produced a lot of players that left Grambling State and went to the NFL and had productive lives as players and as men outside of football. So to see this happen to a college that has a storied career, the administration of Grambling State should be ashamed of themselves. Absolutely ashamed of themselves, and somebody should take a long, hard look to find out what the hell is going on in there, because this shouldn't be, and it's been kept quiet for a while, and now it's come to a head, and the whole nation is knowing about it. So I had to get on that rant. I had to put that out there because I felt about that, because it's not right. Plain and simple, it's not right. Anyway, let's get back to a lighter note. Let's get back to what I love this time of year. Set week 7 in the NFL football season, as another radio commentator, radio personality says, as they play for pay, okay? Well, some people in fantasy play for pay too. So we're talking that. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about fantasy. Let's get into it. The first game on the docket is the Buccaneers at the Falcons. Now, the Falcons are reeling. They're looking for a win. This is the first time since Matt Ryan's been there that they had a three-game losing streak. But they're hosting the 0-4 Buccaneers coming in, and this is the division rivalry. And let me put it this way. There's a lot of games this week that have to do with division rivalries. This is just one of them. The first one that started the week was on Thursday, which is the Seahawks and the Cardinals. The second one we're talking about now is the Buccaneers at the Falcons. I don't get into who's going to win the game. I get into what pertains to fantasy, as you know. I expect Doug Martin of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to run well in here. I think Mike Glennon may get a little intimidated by the dome in Atlanta. Atlanta's pretty tough place to play in, and they do have a good record, even though they've fallen on hard times with all the injuries, especially to the wide receiving core. Mike Williams should be coming back. Vincent Jackson should be a good, absolutely good play in both of these. Now, there's one guy that I do believe is going to have a very good day today. So for the simple fact is, they're two rookies. They're two young guys that before they got their starting role, before they actually were able to play with each other, were playing, you know, on a second team or whatever. Well, they're playing with each other, and they have a very good rapport with each other. If you're in trouble, with a tight end, and you don't know which way to turn. You're trying to figure out, where do I go for a tight end? I don't see anybody that would be a viable option on the waiver wire for a tight end. Go to Mr. Wright. I'm talking about Tim Wright of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Him and Mike Glennon have become a very good rapport with each other. In Tampa Bay, apparently Wright and Glennon have a connection. In the two games Glennon started, Wright has caught 12 passes for 132 yards on 15 targets. That's two games. All right, so that's an average of seven targets a game for a tight end. That's pretty damn good. And that, I would think, would only get better along with, as both of these guys are in the lineup and both of them stay healthy. Wright can't be considered as a tight end one, but he's definitely pointed up. So if you're in, if for some reason the tight end you drafted or the tight end that you've been playing either on a bye or hasn't panned out for you, look on the waiver wire. I can guarantee you this guy's sitting on the waiver wire because not too many people are aware of him yet. But if he keeps playing like the way he's playing, they will be, and he won't be there for you. So Tim Wright of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'm giving you one right there. On the other side, you know Matt Ryan's going to play. You know Steven Jackson is in there, and Tony Gonzalez, and everybody in God's creation know that Harry Douglas is going to take the spot of Julio Jones or Roddy White, because both of those guys aren't there. Roddy White's out finally. His high ankle sprain, he's had enough, and he also now has the hamstring, so he's not playing. So it's going to rely on Jacquizz Rodgers, Tony Gonzalez, and Harry Douglas in a passing game. And they do have another tight end, and I can't recall his name right now, but give me a minute, and I'll bring him up, because he's going to be involved also in the passing game. And and I would say he would be, Levine Toilolo. He's the number two tight end, and his role could grow in the future. So they're going to be running, because of Julio Jones, they're going to be running more two tight end sets, and this Toilolo should be playing a prominent role on the opposite side of Tony Gonzalez. So those are two tight end names that I mentioned right from this game. We're off to a good start, that's how I see that. Let's move on to the next game, the Bengals and the Lions. Now, I really like this game. They got a lot of competitive games on this weekend. We're talking about 2-4-2 teams. The Bengals coming in against the for some, not me, because I really like this team starting from preseason starting from the summer. I've talked about this team. I think the Lions had an anomaly of a bad season last year. All their pieces are healthy or relatively healthy. Excuse me. And the proof is in the pudding. They have a 4-2 record. They're on top of the division. Excuse me. And I think playing at home, where they have a tremendous advantage playing on the turf inside. Andy Dalton has been shaky on the road, with the pass rush of the front seven of the Detroit Lions, I think they're going to give Andy Dalton fits. But you have to play Giovanni Bernard. He's getting more and more touches. He's a very dynamic player when he catches the ball in space. Quite naturally, they still use Ben Jarvis Green Ellis at the thumper and the goal line back. Not always, but he's the thumper, so they definitely use him. Well, you know you got to play A.J. Green. You know you that. A.J. Green's a stud. Definitely got to play him. If you're hurting for a tight end, you may want to put in Jermaine Gresham, but I'm not a real big Jermaine Gresham fan. Play at your own risk. That's my advice to that. I'm not a big Jermaine Gresham fan at all. Hold on a minute, people. On the other side, you know Matthew Stafford is a definite play at home here. Reggie Bush, I absolutely love Reggie Bush. I made the bold prediction that Reggie Bush is going to be the number two back by the year's end. He's going to be top five. I still believe that. As long as he stays healthy, he's going to be a dynamic player, and it's been proven out. He's had one hiccup in this season already. If you were smart, you have Joik Bell as his handcuff, just in case, because Joik Bell can be as dynamic as Reggie Bush. You know you're going to play Calvin Johnson. That's without saying. Pettigrew is too inconsistent to be even put into the lineup, in my opinion. But this other kid here, who used to play for used to play with Matthew Stafford when they were in Georgia. I'm talking about Chris Durham, long, lanky kid, getting more looks. Matthew Stafford throws to him. The kid's got to fix his hands. Last Sunday, when Calvin was banged up, this kid saw 13 targets, catching 8 of them for 83 yards. And like I said, they were college teammates. Now, he may not be a fantasy stuff, but the Detroit's thin at receiver, and unless they make a trade, Detroit doesn't have much else right now. So the fact that Trafford trust Durham at least puts him on the fantasy radar, I would say, because of the depth of the Detroit wide receivers. So if you need a wide receiver 3, maybe even a flex, and this is reaching at the flex, but he's going to get. Let me put it this way. Detroit likes to throw the ball, okay? You got Reggie Bush. You got Calvin Johnson. Chris Durham, because of the double coverage and sometimes triple coverage, they lay on Calvin Johnson. Chris Durham could be a decent flex option this week. Just think about that. Chris Durham. A lot of people don't know about him. But if he keeps on playing and Matthew Stafford keeps targeting him and starts making plays, he will be known. That's what I can say. Tell you about that. Let's move on to this game here, people. This is a rough game for me, for the simple reason my Houston Texans have been playing horribly. First team in NFL history with one quarterback to throw four straight pick sixes. That quarterback, Matt Schaub, gets hurt. T.J. Yates comes in. Now it's the first time in NFL history that a team's quarterback has thrown five straight pick sixes. Five straight games, a pick six, which lays to the Texans having a 2-4 record going into Arrowhead Stadium to play the Kansas City Chiefs with the number one defense, which opponent averages only 11 points a game. And in the last few games, that's the only points that the Houston Texans have been averaging, 11 points, with a rookie quarterback starting his first game in Kansas City who just set the record for the loudest stadium ever. It's not a pleasant sight. All I can tell you is that they're going to rely on the run game. So if you have Arian Foster, which you should, whoever has him, they're going to use him early and often. Now, because they're going to run him so much, I would venture to say that Ben Tate is going to get a lot of play too, because they're going to be running the football quite a bit. And I've, like I've always said, and I still believe this, the best friend of a rookie or young quarterback is the tight end. Owen Daniels is not there. Garrett Graham is there. So you can rest assured that it's going to be a conservative game plan. They're going to run the football, throw short screen passes or passes over the middle to the tight end. And every so now and then, I would think they would take a shot throwing to Andre Johnson. But I would temper my expectations for Andre Johnson. I would temper my expectations because he hasn't been doing too much lately in DeAndre Hopkins. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the main focus of the offense will be relying on the running backs and the tight end. Let's move over to Kansas City Chiefs with one of the best, in my opinion, the best running back this year in the NFL, especially in fantasy, with Jamaal Charles. Talked about this kid. I am definitely on the Jamaal Charles train. I love this kid a lot, and I think he's going to play well here. Houston can be run on. They can be run on. So I think he's going to run pretty well. Now, Dwayne Bro is like a lost person. Nobody has seen what Dwayne Bro has gone because the fact is Alex Smith doesn't throw the ball down the field. He's a short passer. He doesn't like taking chances down the field, so he'll throw over on the flat, dump off passes to check down passes to Jamaal Charles or to the tight end. So don't look for a lot of play for Dwayne Bowe. It ain't going to happen, people. It just ain't going to happen. Let's go to another division rival in the AFC East. Bills versus the Dolphins. Now, you would have to think that Ryan Tannehill and company coming off a bye will play a lot better. I would think so. Ryan Tannehill had a tendency to hold the ball too long, which causes the defense to rack up sacks. Hopefully they've worked with him a little bit more to get that ball out of his hands quicker. He's working in a West Coast offense, which tells the quarterback, which the quarterback is supposed to get the ball out of his hand that much quicker. So hopefully Ryan Tannehill, with a little bit more work over the bye week, is able to do that. Otherwise, it spells trouble for the Miami passing game. I still say Lamar Miller is the better of the two running backs. I don't understand why they keep on running both of these guys evenly. I'm talking about Daniel Thomas and Lamar Miller. When Lamar Miller is the better of the two, seems like they are insistent on doing that. Maybe over the bye week, they decided to go one way or the other. They should. They have makings of a dynamic offense as they stick to one running back versus splitting it with two. In this game, I would venture to say that a good play would be Brian Hartline. He's probably a wide receiver three in here. Mike Wallace. is another good play. He also is a wide receiver three. One of the things that can happen here is because Buffalo can be run on. They have a nice pass rush. That's why I'm saying that I think it's a good, in my opinion, if you had one of these two defenses, I think it's a good play today. For the simple reason, Ryan Tannehill holds the ball too long, and Buffalo has a decent pass rush, and they can rack up sacks. And once you hold the ball too long and the pass rush gets to you, you have a tendency to make mistakes. I'm talking about the quarterback. So I'm thinking Buffalo's a good play here. And on the other side, Miami playing at home, coming off a bye, going up against Stat Lewis. I would think an inexperienced quarterback playing on the road for the first time would be a good play for the Miami Dolphins because they're coming off a bye and they're playing home for the first time off that bye. It's really tough, and I have C.J. Spiller on one of my teams, and it's tough for me to play C.J. Spiller until I see more from him. I mean, I'm not a big Fred Jackson fan, so but if you wanted to play him, I have no issues with that. It's just that I don't know how well he's going to work out in this game. Let's move on to the. There's two tight ends in here too, Charles Clay and Scott Chandler. I meant to talk to you about. And I'm not a big fan of Scott Chandler, but Charles Clay, in my mind, would be a good play here. I really like him, and he definitely is a start for me. Let me put it that way. Let's move on to the Patriots. This is another AFC East rivalry, a huge rivalry, with implications of Jets getting one. If they can pull this win off, they can get one game closer to the division lead, which is held by the 5-1 Patriots. Jets are 3-3. Well, it's been long awaited, and I think today finally is here, that the Rob Gronkowski is coming back, and Tom Brady is feeling better about that. That's an upgrade for Tom Brady. He's on the upswing in the rankings, I would think. He was a tough play up until this point because he was so inconsistent. And I think if Gronk comes back and he comes back as Gronk plays, then it uplifts this whole offense. Because more attention is going to have to be paid to Gronkowski. And that leaves the two guys on the outside, Aaron Dobson and Kembrill Tompkins, who I do believe is the better of the two. And I do believe Tom Brady has more faith in. If you looked at what happened last week in the game-winning touchdown pass, who did he throw it to? Kembrill Tompkins. I think he's a better option of the two on the outside. Quite naturally, Stephen Ridley is a good play to no, he's not. You know why? Because the Jets are very stout against the run. I know it's going to open up things with the Gronkowski out there and the wide receivers, but they're top five against the run. So, excuse me, if you have Stephen Ridley temper those, I don't think he's going to run well in this game. I mean, he may get some yardage, but I don't think he's going to get into the end zone, to tell you the truth. I think the Patriots are going to have to pass to get into the end zone. On the other side, I'm looking for the emergence of Jeff Cumberland to be a little bit more prominent in role in this offense. I think because of the lack of talent in the wide receiver position, Geno, being a young quarterback, is going to rely more on his tight end. So Jeff Cumberland is the Jets' leading receiver, was the leading receiver against Pittsburgh. And he caught four passes for 59 yards. And he has scored in two consecutive games before Sunday. And has found the end zone in two of the four games he's played this season. The Patriots held Jimmy Graham without a catch last week, but that's because Aqib Talib covered him. Well, Aqib Talib is not covering him, and the reason why, he didn't even make the trip. So you don't have to worry about Aqib Talib, and Jeff Cumberland doesn't have the same name as Jimmy Graham, or the ability. So I think he's going to be able to have a solid performance against the Patriots. So think about that if you're looking for a tight end. Jeff Cumberland of the New York Jets. He can definitely play Stephen Hill as a flex option or a wide receiver three. Geno Smith and Stephen Hill seem like they got a pretty good rapport with each other. And Bilal Powell should be able to run the ball also. Chris Ivory is going to be more involved because Mike Woodson's hurt. So Chris Ivory is definitely going to be more involved in the offense. And if he stays healthy, he may surprise people. I picked him up on one of my leagues just for speculation purposes because I have a feeling that he has a shot to do something for the rest of the season. So I want to be on the front side of that, not the back side of that. So I grabbed him and just set him on the bench and see what happens. He had the tendency to get hurt. But he's not hurt now, and he's coming on. Let me put it that way. Here comes another. I'm telling you, people, there's a lot of good games on this weekend, and a lot of them are division rivals. And this is another one. We're talking about the Cowboys at the Eagles. Fantasy players, you're rubbing your hands together. You're smiling. You can't wait to watch this game because there's fantasy points to be made from each team all over the place on here. Just don't play the defenses here because both of these defenses are not that good, and DeMarcus Ware is supposedly not going to play, so that even hurts the Dallas defense that much more. Tony Romo, huge play. Joseph Randall is going to take the spot of DeMarco Murray because he's not there. And I expect him to be able to run well against the Eagles. You got to play Jason Witten. Philly, regardless of who's the coach, is historically weak against the tight end, and they're still weak against the tight end. So Jason Witten, you know, is a good play. Dez Bryant is a beast. Beast. If you can, through a trade, happen to grab Dez Bryant, do so. He's got one of the best strength of schedules for the rest of the year. He's going to be a monster. Only time they're going to be able to stop him is on his bye week, let me put it that way, or if he gets hurt. Otherwise, consider what you've been seeing from Dez. That's going to play out for the rest of the year. So if you can get Dez, do so. If you can't, you may want to grab this young rookie, Terrence Williams. I've talked about him before. I'm talking about him again. He seems like he's edging past Miles Austin. Miles Austin's playing for a contract, if I'm not mistaken. He may be edging Miles Austin out and being the number two option in the wide receiver position. And it seems like Tony Romo has gotten a good rapport with him. He likes him. And that's a big thing. If Tony Romo likes and is comfortable with you, he's going to be throwing the ball to you. And he didn't see many targets last week with Miles Austin back in the lineup, but he still scored for the second consecutive week. So he's had three straight double-digit scoring weeks in PPR leagues. And he could make it four with in Philadelphia, which, like I said, looks like a high scoring game. So I like him a lot as a strong flex play. I do believe Tony Romo's going to lose him a lot early and often. Nick Foles. Nick Foles. You know, for those who've been hiding in a box, let me tell you right now, you're out of the box, Nick Foles. Grab him now, see what happens over the next couple of weeks. He shined last week, and if he ends up shining in the Kelly offense, Foles will be a steal if you get him now. I'm telling you. Against this defense, without DeMarco Ware to lead the pass rush, Nick Foles LeSean McCoy and DeSean Jackson and even Riley Cooper are going to see some nice play today. I'm telling you. I named the first three, and I threw in Riley Cooper because the fact is he was making play after play with Nick Foles in the game, and secondary receivers have eaten Dallas's secondary alive this year. And you can best believe Cooper will have plenty of opportunities to make plays against them on Sunday. You can. I'm telling you. If you're in need of a wide receiver, feel free to put a Riley Cooper because I think it'll be a comfortable fit for you. Let's move on to a team that's in desperation. Well, I would say both these teams need to win in the worst way. They need to win in the worst way. Talking about the Bears visiting the Washington Redskins. Now, everybody who's been playing fantasy knows that Washington defense sucks. I'm going to say put it right that. It stinks. So Jay Cutler is a definitely good play, along with Matt Forte, along with Martellus Bennett and Brandon Marshall. Now, I don't have to tell you about Alshon Jeffrey. All the weapons I've talked about, Jay Cutler, Matt Forte, Martellus Bennett, Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, if you got a portion of those, one of those, two of those, whatever, you play them. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game also. I think this is going to be a shootout. I can't see either one of these teams stopping the other. Even though Chicago's defense is a lot stiffer than Washington, I think there's going to be points put up. And in order for that to happen, I mean, if it's going to be points to put up in Washington, Chicago's going to have to keep up. You play Robert Griffin III. He said that he needs to run more. Robert, I agree with you, but you need to run smarter. Let me put it that way. Run out of bounds, slide, do whatever it takes to keep you in a game. If you want to run, fine. If you want to run more, that's fine. But you better run smart. The coaching staff, they're all for it. Fine. But teach him that he needs to stay in the game for his team to have a chance to win. Alfred Morris is a good play in here. Jordan Reed, this is another tight end that is along the Aaron Hernandez. I'm not calling him Aaron Hernandez, but he has got the ability. He's got the athletic ability as an Aaron Hernandez. Okay? So, if you're in need of a tight end, this is another guy I'm giving you here. You've probably heard of him already, but if you haven't, I'm letting you know. That Jordan Reed is a good play here. He's absolutely a good play, and let me put it this way. He's seen 12 targets in the last two games. So if Jordan Reed continues to get opportunities, he will start to make a fantasy impact. I'm telling you, Robert Griffin III is looking for this kid as an option in the passing game. Just remember what I was saying, Jordan Reed. So I'll give you three tight ends, Tim Wright, Jordan Reed, and Jeff Cumberland. Okay, I got one more tight end that I want to give you. When we get to that game, I'll let you know. And Pierre Garçon should have it. I'm telling you, this game, these guys are going to be lighting up the tote board too. I definitely believe that. Let's move on to the Rams at the Panthers, which is a difficult game for me. The Panthers' defense has been, pretty stout. Sam Bradford has been very inconsistent, in my opinion. Zach Stacy, who's a rookie and he's been a starting running back for the last few weeks. It's a difficult play for me here today. If I was to play him, he would be definitely a flex play, no more than that, a flex play. The only other guy that I can think about that I want to play here, unfortunately, Jared Cook hasn't panned out as since the first week of the season. And I can't recommend him, but I can definitely recommend Austin Pettis as a wide receiver 3. Sam Bradford looks like he looks for him quite a bit, and looks like he's the go-to receiver for Sam Bradford. On the other side, I haven't talked about Cam Newton because no need for that. Greg Olsen is the number 2 option for Cam Newton, and I see him being a decent play here. I like Steve Smith as a good play here also. And the reason why I'm leaving the running back for last, I wouldn't say this is the last week, but it's getting to close to the last week that D'Angelo Williams is going to be a solid, viable running back 2 play in my position, running back 2 to a flex position, because Jonathan Stewart's going to come back. So this is my recommendation to you people. D'Angelo Williams should be run pretty well against this defense in St. Louis, especially playing at home. After this week, I would sell high on D'Angelo Williams. So hope that if you're a D'Angelo Williams owner, hope he plays well so he can rack up them points and then try to pass them off. Or trade him off to whatever weakness you have on your team. Because I think that D'Angelo Williams is a going into a timeshare in the near future after Jonathan Stewart gets back. And supposedly Stewart's not going to be back for a few weeks, but this is probably one of the best weeks to after this week. To pass off to D'Angelo Williams once he finishes playing because of the chances of Jonathan Stewart coming back and a timeshare. All right, let's move on to I don't like him. I don't like him either. 10-20. So let's move on to this. Okay, let's move on to the Chargers at the Jaguars. All right. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Any team that plays the Jets and the Jaguars for 1 and 2, you play that defense for the simple reason is that the quarterbacks are prone to turnovers and sacks. So, because they don't score that, they're not a high scoring deep offense. So, San Diego's going to Jacksonville. San Diego happens to be sitting on the waiver wire, which they're probably not. But if they are sitting on the waiver wire and you don't have a decent defense to play, you play San Diego against the Jaguars. I know the Jaguars play better at home. I know they played better against the Broncos, but that was, in essence, the Broncos' Super Bowl. So they were pumped up because they were playing an undefeated team. Well, they come back down there if they lost that game, and they lost it handily. But a lot of people are picking Jacksonville to upset this. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. San Diego goes in there, handles their business, few turnovers, and takes the win from Jacksonville. But Phillip Rivers is definitely going to be throwing the ball all over the place. Ryan Matthews had a resurgence last week, And maybe he's finally getting it, okay? You could probably play both these guys because I'm talking about Ryan Matthews and Danny Woodhead. Danny Woodhead more in the PPR format, Ryan Matthews more in the standard format. Antonio Gates is definitely tight end one without a doubt. And Keenan Allen, not Eddie Royal, not Vincent Brown, Keenan Allen, the rookie, has been Rivers' big man to go to, and he's been making plays for him. So if you haven't grabbed Keenan Allen, I don't know where you've been. You should grab him because his arrow is pointing up. He can only get better. On the other side, I would play at least a flex, at least a flex. I'm talking about MJD. I think he's going to be able to run the football against San Diego defense for the simple reason Justin Blackman's back there. So they can't just load up the box against MJD knowing that Justin Blackman is a good option out there. And even if Cecil Shorts doesn't play, that opens the door for MJD. So Justin Blackman is a beast. He came out starting as a beast his first game out, and he hasn't let up. And for those of you who drafted or picked up Justin Blackman off the waiver wire, pat yourselves on the back. Big smile because if he doesn't stay healthy or if he gets hurt, you knock on wood, Justin Blackman's should be a beast from week in and week out. Let's move on to the 49ers at the Titans. Both these two defenses are pretty tough, all right? Don't discount the defense of the Titans. They've toughened up on defense. Their offense is a little shaky, and supposedly Jake Locker is going to be playing today. I still don't trust that Titan passing game. Jake Locker, up until the time he got hurt, maybe one or two games before he got hurt, was starting to play well, better. Now he's coming back from an injury. You don't know how the injury was supposed to be a lot longer than what he came back. So don't know how healthy he is in coming back from that injury. They'll have to wait and see. But I can't trust the passing game of Tennessee Titans. But I do know this. Frank Gore should be able to run the football here. I really believe that. Colin Kaepernick, he hasn't been playing the way Colin Kaepernick been normally been playing. And I don't think he's a really good play, really strong play here because of the defense that Tennessee will put up in their home stadium. Vernon Davis, you know you got to play him, without a doubt. Anquan Boldin, you know you got to play him, without a doubt. I wouldn't say that. Going up against good defenses, Anquan Boldin hasn't been faring so well. I tell you that right now. He has not been faring so well going up against good defenses. When he goes up against a bad defense, I'm talking about bad defensive play, DB play, he plays well, but if he goes up against a defense, defensive secondary that's good and plays well, he doesn't fare that well. So temper your expectations of Anquan Boldin. You don't expect too much from him. I really like Vernon Davis better than like Anquan Boldin in this game. On the other side, Chris Johnson is probably the only play I would play here. I have very big reservations about any of these wide receivers on Tennessee. They're very highly inconsistent, and that especially because of the quarterback play. So I have to temper my expectations if I had any of these, and I don't. On any of my teams, I do not have any Tennessee Titan player, if I can recall. If anybody, I have Kendall Wright, and I don't think I've ever played him. But otherwise than that, Chris Johnson, and he's a shaky play at best. He would be a And some people say bench him. I would give him a flex play because he's going to get the ball in one way or the other. Versus he's going to get the ball either running the ball, he's going to get the ball on check downs or whatever. He's going to get the ball. So I would say at the worst, he's a flex play. Let me move on to another division rivalry, and this is a hotly contested rivalry. These two teams do not like each other. These two teams, not like each other, they despise each other. The division rivals, they're always contending, not this year, but they're always contending for the division lead or division crown. But regardless of if they're contending for it or not, they don't like each other. And you can throw out all the records. Pittsburgh's 1-4. Baltimore's, 3-3, whatever they are. Excuse me. Throw it all out for the simple reason it doesn't matter. These two teams are going to go at it tooth and nail. Joe Flacco is going into Pittsburgh, and I have Joe Flacco as one of my quarterbacks. I have no choice. I either play Joe Flacco, excuse me, or Michael Vick. Michael Vick's not playing, so I play Joe Flacco. I'm not expecting too much from Joe Flacco this week. He doesn't play that well on the road. I know it's a division rival. The majority of the time, he doesn't play that well on the road. The Ravens' offense is in a mess, absolute mess. Passing game is shaky. The run game is almost non-existent. Ray Rice fans are thoroughly disappointed, and I don't see any way that Ray Rice runs effectively in here. Excuse me. So any Ray Rice owners, temper your expectations. You got to put him in there because you drafted him in the first round. You got to keep him in there with the hope that he breaks out and has a good game. You can't put him on a bench. That's the time that he may have a good game. So you got to put him in there and see that he can give you some decent points. Otherwise than that, I would say Torrey Smith, but I don't think he's going to have a decent game today. It's going to be tough going for Baltimore playing in Pittsburgh, especially if Pittsburgh got their first win last week and they're feeling good about themselves. They got little things going. Ben Roethlisberger, I think, is going to play well here. I like Ben Roethlisberger. Excuse me, in this game. I've drafted this kid in a couple of leagues, and I really expect this kid when he finally gets his legs under him, when he finally starts running. He showed a little bit last week, but it was against a stiff Jet defense. I think he's going to be able to do a little bit more this year. This week. I'm talking about Le'Veon Bell. He's not a run back one yet. He's not a running back two yet. He's a flex for me that I would put in. I know that Baltimore is pretty stiff against the run, but I still like this kid. I think he's got the it factor and can be well in here. There's three guys in here that I think can play well in here because of the way they play and who their opponent is. I'm talking about Heath Miller, Antonio Brown, and Emmanuel Sanders. I think the first two that I mentioned are going to be main pieces that Ben Roethlisberger feels very comfortable throwing to. Sanders, in my opinion, is a flex play, wide receiver three, something like that. Antonio Brown, in my opinion, is a wide receiver two. Heath Miller is a tight end one in that. Believe it or not, this past week I picked up Heath Miller off the waiver wire, which I thought was an absolute steal. That he still should be sitting on the waiver wire. Anybody who knows anything about fantasy football knows that Ben Roethlisberger absolutely loves throwing to and dumping the pass off to Heath Miller. And once he got healthy, Ben Roethlisberger's numbers really started going up. And you can see that he was feeling a little bit more comfortable about throwing the football short with somebody he could count on like Heath Miller. Let's move on to the Cleveland Browns going to visit the Packers in Lambeau Field and their wide receiver problems. Cleveland is strong against the past with Joe Hayden and company back there. Their defense is not that bad. Not that bad, but they're playing the Packers in Lambeau. Okay? Aaron Rodgers still has Jordy Nelson. Still has JerMichael Finley. Still has Eddie Lacy. And guess what, people? For those who don't know, Jarrett Boykin. Yes, I'm talking about Jarrett Boykin. He's going to be playing, and I think he had a case of the dropsies last week. Well, Aaron Rodgers is going to keep pumping him the ball, and he's going to make plays. And people are going to say, well, who's this kid? Where did he come from? Well, I'm telling you now, if you didn't know about this kid and you just were learning about this kid, Jarrett Boykin, you're hurting for wide receivers, put him in there. If you're hurting already, what do you got to lose by putting him in there? You follow me? If you're hurting already, what do you got to lose by putting him in there? If he throws a donut, well, not a donut, but if he throws bad numbers at you, well, you got the same bad numbers from your other option. So at least you took a chance and to see what happens with a quarterback that you know is going to throw the ball to him and with a chance of him making big plays, playing at home. He was playing on the road last week. He's playing at home this week. Okay? So just think about that. Jarrett Boykin. And Eddie Lacy's an extremely good play here. And I always say play Josh Gordon and Cameron Jordan, Brandon Whedon, and the Green Bay Packers defense. Brandon Whedon is a tearing over waiting to happen. He's going to be throwing the ball to Jordan, Cameron, and Josh Gordon. But he can also be throwing the ball to the opposing defense, too, just like he showed last week against Detroit. So, trust me, Green Bay Packers, I picked them up, and I'm going to play them against Brandon Whedon. Let's move on to the Sunday night game, which happens to be a huge game, which I think is going to be another fantasy type of game. Peyton Manning, Nochon Marino, Julius Thomas, Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker, Wes Welker, Andrew Luck, Trent Richardson, Reggie Wayne, T.Y. Hilton. All those players are viable plays. You're going to get some points out of them because both quarterbacks get the ball to those players and put them in a position to rack up fantasy points. I think there's going to be a lot of points to be laid out on both sides of the ball. I'm talking about Denver and the Colts. And last but not least, Vikings and the Giants. Josh Freeman makes his Viking starting quarterback debut in MetLife Stadium, playing the 0-6 New York Giants. I like Josh Freeman in this game. I picked him up in at least one league, maybe two. I like him. He's got a running game and he's got wide receivers. I like him a lot. And this lost soul that happened to be a tight end, I'm talking about Kyle Rudolph, is a real good play today. Real good play on Monday night against the Giants, who are one of the worst teams against the tight end. Kyle Rudolph, he came on a little last week. He's going to do the same again this week in MetLife Stadium. So I like Josh Freeman as a quarterback that you can put in on a bye week replacement. Adrian Peterson, you know you're going to play. You play Kyle Rudolph. Greg Jennings has got a big bump up because of the quarterback who can get the ball to him more consistently, along with Jerome Simpson. Eli Manning, because they're going to have to throw the ball more. Just keep an eye out because Brandon Jacobs may not be playing, but the three wide receivers Eli's going to be throwing to, Victor Cruz, Hakeem Nicks, and Ruben Randall. Ruben Randall, if you don't have him, and for some reason he's sitting on the waiver wire, grab him because there's talk that Hakeem Nicks may be a trade bait somewhere. And if he gets traded, you know who the number two wide receiver is. And Ruben Randall has been racking up some points the last few weeks. So just think about that. Ruben Randall can be a flex option for you if you want. All right? So with that being said, I've given you, and one more guy that either next week or the following week is probably going to make his debut for the 2013 season. And if you haven't grabbed him, you probably have to wait for the waiver wire now because the team played on Thursday. I'm talking about Percy Harvin. For those who haven't been seeing or been watching or been noticing, Percy Harvin has it's very close to playing, extremely close to playing. So you might want to grab him now and just put him on your bench and hope for the best that he's put in. With that being said, I want to thank you for joining me today. I want to thank you for spending the time or even listening to the archives. Enjoy the Sunday. It's a fine Sunday for football. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends watching football that you watch football with. God bless to you all. And with God willing, I'll see you next weekend. See ya. You're not doing this to me. There you go. Is it going to happen or is it not? You never know. You never know with Block Talk Radio what's going to happen. It's always something that always screws me up. I don't understand it, but I want to thank, like I said, I want to thank you for all listening. You know what? Let's say it like this. See ya.